All right. Hello. Welcome to Barely a Destiny Show, episode, Barely a Destiny 2 Show, episode 16. That's a thing.
Almost a Destiny 2 Show.
Yeah. I mean, we are going to talk about that, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I am your host, Detective Ben Malone, Det Ben Malone. You know me from internet. With me as always, God, this is a great intro, huh? with me as always, but flipped, because Scott's usually on the left, I've got Slapshot Scott.
How's it going? Good. Played on my Warlock a lot last couple days, trying to get him up to 40 and finish out the book. That Warlock jump is a bitch, man. I don't know how Warlock mains do it. I fucking hate it. I was playing Friday night and streaming, and I had Quack and DW from the DGS chat jump in and start harassing me in chat and like telling me how to jump and stuff. So it was pretty funny. They watched me play. It was that the mission with Skolas where you have to chase him up the Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
And up to the jumping puzzle, I had one death and like 20 kills or something like that. By the end of the jump puzzle, I had 27 deaths. So I died a bunch.
And oh, laughing at how trash Scott is at jumping is Xanafan711. What's up, Steve?
Not too much. Played a ton of Destiny this week. I finished my book and ordered my shirt. So I'm
hype.
I'm jealous of you. I really want that shirt.
I've got a lot of Destiny swag coming, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Something else we've all got a lot of today is red hats.
Yeah, indeed. Funny how we didn't coordinate this either. It just kind of worked out that way.
We all twinned up today. And we're wearing red hats to support the Cabal Red Legion as they tear down the tower. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So this
I ain't
week,
no traitor.
This week, oh wait, housekeeping. Whew, whew. We're going to be playing Monsoon at the end of the show. They were on the first episode, but not a lot of people listened to that, so we're going to play them again. It's a great band. I hope you guys stick around to the end and listen to it. Also, if you guys or girls or whoever's listening, grandmas, moms, sisters, brothers, if you could all go on to Apple Podcasts or Podbean or however you listen to our show and leave us a review, that would be so awesome. We would very much appreciate it. And if you could also, I know it's asking a lot of you guys, but if you could also go to destinycontentcreators.com and suggest us as a podcast. Still haven't made it on there. We're trying. I want to make it on there with our buddies.
Yeah.
And also if you guys have any questions for us, you can always send them to BarelyADestinyShow@gmail.com or at BarelyADS on Twitter. Also, let us know if you want to join the Fantasy Football League. I know it's a little bit ways off, but we're trying to make sure that we get everybody nice and early for it.
Heck yeah.
That being said, we're going to jump into our Destiny weekly news. This week, I didn't get to play a lot. I played today, and we played Wrath of the Machine. I've finally got a adept weapon from that.
Nice.
We got to access phase 2, and then I was like, oh shit, I gotta go meet with our wedding photographer, so I had to bail. But shout out to Dan Finity. We were playing earlier on Side Quest Sunday.
Nice.
Yep. And
what'd you end up getting from
Chaos from... Dogma?
Nice. That's a good one.
I wanted Genesis Chain, but
yeah,
you know, we can always do Wrath of the Machine challenge again. Yeah, like I'm
dude,
gonna
do
that.
Dude, I got an Nexus Part 2 checkpoint if you want it.
Yeah, I hope I got to finish it at some point.
I got a Bosic Part 2 checkpoint.
Yeah, we could get that every week though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I also did something really fun. I played more Mayhem this week, and we played 6 Sunbreakers with incendiary grenades, running Simmering Flames and Armamentarium, which honestly was overkill once Simmering Flames shows up. But we were rolling people without shooting our guns. We would just.
I love it.
What's the Trials map this week? Is that Exodus Blue?
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to Inside Heavy and just spammed the fuck out of every entrance with grenades. Because you can literally throw them as fast as you can. And we got killed a couple times, but it was pretty much only by smashing Titans or a Nova Bomb here and there. But we were fucking losing it. We were calling it Golden Girls.
We all rang Midas?
No, but we should have been. We also, I ran some Gunslinger because I didn't during Iron Banner, and that is really fun. What'd you guys do this week in Destiny? Xanifan? I almost called you Xan, and I really don't want to.
Yeah. I did a little bit of Wrath and streamed it the other night. Ben was in the chat. It was a lot of fun. We were terrible, but it was a whole lot of fun. So did that. Played a lot of Crucible. Played a lot of my Hunter, which was kind of rough a little bit until I started figuring out Shade Step. I just never used it. I forgot it's there because I don't dodge or anything like that.
So good.
So yeah. Once I started using it, I was like, okay, this is better. This is better. And then, aside from that, the Dead Tales part of the Sundowners charity stream last night, I checked that out, and it was a whole lot of fun in their chat, too. So shout out to those guys. They raised $777. So
nice. That's super specific. Bungie.
That's awesome.
Yep. They screenshapped it and tweeted it at Cosmo. So we'll see if anything happens with that. But it was a lot of fun, raised a lot of money. So those guys, I donated $10. That's all I could do. But I wanted to help out.
But yeah, you guys, if you, speaking of Dad Tales, Justin Jesse, JC Jesse, did I just give something away? Everybody knows his name's Justin, whatever. he went down to the D2 reveal and those guys are recording tonight. So if you want, just send them questions. If you want anything answered, hopefully this gets out to you in time for you to hear that before they record. I just realized it's like not a lot of time. Whatever. We keep it rolling here. Scott, what'd you do in Destiny this week, huh?
Well, I played the weeklies, of course, my Titan, and then it's cool. Thursday night, it's been the raid night for my clan again. There's people who are like posting up at the last second. They're like, yo, who wants to run the raid this week on Thursday? So we ran Wrath of the Machine. Got to Axis Part 2, and then everybody... We almost got him a couple times, but everybody... It was getting late, and everybody kind of had to go. So we bailed on that. I got my final raid emblem, or raid challenge emblem, for Vosik. And that actually goes really smooth if you have two people throwing bombs to shut the doors. You know what? We had two of my clanmates who were, like, aces on that. Constant Gamer and Cave, shout out to them. They both ran center, and then they would grab the bombs and run to either side and call which door was open. And all of us had to do was shoot ads and shoot TVs and stuff. So that went pretty well. Other than that, I streamed to my Warlock a lot, including the other night, Friday night, I think it was. I was playing, and I actually fell asleep. At the end, this happens sometimes. I went to the tower to cash stuff in, and I'm like, all right, I gotta try and get that last mission so I can unlock Storm and, you know, open the Taken King content. And I was just in orbit and fell asleep. funny thing is, I was asking around. I was like, hey, what's the deal? Because I saw I had three viewers, and of course, like I said, two of them, one was DW and the other was Quack from DGS. And so I'm sitting there, and I asked somebody the next day, I'm like, does Twitch count? Is there like a bot that counts as a viewer all the time? And everybody told me, no, you know, sometimes Twitch counts you as a viewer, but most of the time somebody's showing up in your stream, there's actually somebody watching. And I found that really funny because apparently I had somebody watching my stream from when I started streaming all the way till the end, including the 5-minute or 10-minute break where I parked my Warlock in the corner and had him dance so I could change the laundry. And the hour that I fell asleep on the couch. So
intensely watching, waiting. They're like, what's he going to do?
I unlocked Storm last night on my Warlock, and that's super fun.
Is that the first time you've done Stormcaller?
Yeah. I mean, I played on a couple friends' accounts who are Warlock mains. They're like, here, you try. And I'm like, this is too slow. I don't like it. But mission where you unlock Stormcaller. I mean, I think all the subclass missions for Taken King were super fun. Like, those are missions I wish you could play multiple times just because they're so awesome. Yeah. But that one was pretty fun. You get to, like, float around and shock the ever-living shit out of a bunch of Vex. So that was cool. And then I stopped by the tail end of the... I was on earlier in the night when Kit Kutcher was playing for the Sundowners gaming stream. And then I went and helped out my son play a little Warlock, and then went and watched the Destiny Ghost Stories part of it. And it was really funny watching those guys run through strikes in the Nightfall.
Cool. Good stuff. I want to play a Nightfall again. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
So, guys... I know last week we talked about anime, and I know we got a lot of D2 to talk about, but I just want to get this out of the way. Give me a top five favorite comics.
Favorite comics?
Let's do top three, because I really don't have five.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll do five.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have five already? What is that loud-ass noise?
Yeah, I have five already.
It sounds like somebody's mowing the lawn, like, next to someone's window.
It's not here, so I don't know.
I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah, go ahead. You can go first.
All right. So, in no particular order, is Watchmen.
Okay.
Now,
is the Watchmen comic book, is it pretty close to the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, cool. It is. Zack Snyder is a very good translator to film. So,
and that's just like standalone, right?
Yeah. It's a standalone. It's... Oh, crap. I can't remember who wrote it. It's the same guy that wrote V for Vendetta.
Did he write Sandman?
Is it Alan Moore? It might be Alan Moore.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
Anyway, it's considered to be one of the top 50 greatest novels of all time. Not Ooh. Even just, yeah. And then,
yeah, it's Alan Moore.
Yeah, okay. So then also would be, it's a DC like crossover miniseries thing from the 80s. And it's, wow, I can't think of what it's called. Oh, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, okay.
Is really, really, really good. Then I'm just going to say The Flash in general.
Yeah, that works.
I've read the entire second series with Wally West, basically, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
Now, I've watched a lot of The Flash on CW. Is that close to The Flash comic books at all?
The general feel is very like the comic book, but it's like its own thing. You have to think of it as its like own Flash story.
Okay.
You
know what I mean? That works.
Because it is. It's like it's a new... I don't know. Okay, so then the next thing is Aquaman. The newest Aquaman line is actually ridiculously good. It's Geoff Johns. He's the editor-in-chief at DC Comics. And, oh my God.
So, like, why is Aquaman cool now?
Because he further explains Aquaman's powers in a way that makes sense and in ways that make him more badass. Like, even the limitations. Like, Geoff Johns takes the character's limitations and uses them to help kind of give you a better perspective on the character. Aquaman's always been as powerful as he's portrayed now. It's just, like, never been portrayed properly, I guess. You know? So now, like, you've got... And they're including his wife, too. Like, his wife is also a really powerful Atlantean. She can control water down to, like, the microscopic level. And, like, she sucked the water out of a person at one point.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's
she didn't kill him. She was, like, torturing him for being rude to a woman. So, it was...
Wow.
But, yeah. No, Aquaman is, like, about as strong... It goes in terms of strength, Superman, And then, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are tied for second, basically. So he's, like, super strong, super fast, and he can control all the aquatic creatures, including the mythical ones. And he uses that, you know? I don't know. They just took away the, like, goofy jokes from the old stuff and made it serious and, like, utilized his powers in new and interesting ways.
Don't they and have the story's guy? Really... Okay.
Oh, yeah, no. Were you going to ask about Khal Drogo?
I was just going to ask, isn't the new Aquaman going to be Khal Drogo, which is going to be fucking crazy because that guy's an awesome actor?
I've only seen him in Game of Thrones.
He's Aquaman.
He's got for some sure. other stuff out there. My wife was watching, I think, and I think she said he was good, but the series kind of sucked. Like, the writing was not good. It was like some Frontier thing. But watching that guy as Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones, especially the scene where he's like, you know, kills, what's his name? Daenerys' brother. I think it's Viserys. He, like, pours the molten gold over that dude's head and then goes,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely bonkers. He's, like, dancing around the fire shadow. He's going to basically cross the sea and murder everybody who stands between him and the throne. I was just like, holy crap, man. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah. And then he gets murked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then... Finally, my number one absolute most favorite comic, actually. This one is my favorite. The Dark Knight Returns Part 2.
Ooh.
That's a very specific one.
That's Frank Miller, right?
Yes.
Frank Miller is dope.
With old Batman, and it's got the Arrow in it, or Green Arrow, and he only has one arm, and Superman. I think Two-Face and the Joker.
Cool.
But yeah, Superman. This is the one where Batman fights Superman and wins.
Okay.
Outsmarts him.
Nice.
As Batman should.
I was just gonna say.
So wait, real quick, who's a bigger fan of Batman over Superman? Because I am.
For sure. Nope. Not a big Superman fan.
Yeah. Fuck Superman. What a dick. Yeah. If you guys don't mind, I'll go next so I don't forget him.
Go for it.
My number three, well, let me preface this by saying I don't really like superhero comics. I feel like, I don't know. If you're going to write a comic that doesn't have superheroes, it's probably pretty fucking good because it's hard to make an interesting comic without superheroes, in my opinion. But number three is Transmetropolitan. And that is a comic about a journalist. But it's in like a weird dystopian future. Like, it's super weird. Like, his washing machine does drugs. So, like, it's very, very strange. And there's like a two-headed cat smoking cigarettes the whole time. It's a really, really weird comic, but it's really good. It's dark. Like, I think in like the first one I read, he like saves a bunch of strippers. So it's like, it's real crazy.
That's great.
All right.
Then number two, I didn't get very far into this series, but I really liked it, and it was 100 Bullets. So the basic premise is that these people find a suitcase with a gun, an untraceable gun, 100 bullets. I think it's 100 bullets. And the information on who wronged them. So basically, like, picture a dude who like went to jail under a false accusation. He would get out, find a suitcase with this stuff in it and information about, you know, who the actual guy who like framed him or whatever is. And so it's just like crazy shit. Like, there's one issue where this guy, like, because nobody knows where the gun comes from, they just like find it. So this guy finds all this information and it says like this gun is untraceable, like you won't get in trouble for using it. And so he walks out into a park and just shoots a dog. And the cops show up and, like, basically, like, they're going to throw him in jail. And then they come back, give him the gun back, and say, have a good day, sir. So, like, you just can't get in trouble for using that gun.
Oh, so you can even use it in public.
Yeah. It was crazy. So
why don't you shoot a dog?
Well, he just wanted, like, he didn't want to, like, murder somebody. First, you know what I mean?
I'd be more likely to shoot a person than a dog. Right?
Well, yeah, just to test it out. Like,
it's just the way it goes. But that's a really interesting comic series, and you should probably check it out. And my last one is another Frank Miller one, and that's Sin City. Yeah. I got a couple of those books, and they're just fucking awesome. The art enough is just, you spend so long on each page just looking at that beautiful art. It's a really cool style. If you've ever seen the movie, it's pretty much just like that. Only that it so looks good. Better. Because like the movie kind of like you get that cheesy vibe because it's hard to like match his art style in a movie.
Yeah.
Same with like I just saw like a 300 movie, another Frank Miller thing, and it was like a almost made for TV 300 movie, but like it looks kind of goofy because they're trying to make it look like a comic. But yeah, Sin City is actually really, really good. And it's nice because they come in like big fat books. You don't have to go through like a million comic issues. So I'm all about time efficiency when it comes to reading comics. But yeah, those are my top three comics. Scott, you got anything for these comics?
Well, I usually will default to Star Wars. Anything Star Wars graphic novels. There's a few good ones. I read Darth Vader and the Lost Squadron while my wife was in the hospital when we were waiting for my son to be born. That was pretty good. And there's a couple like Boba Fett / Jango Fett ones that are really good. Forget the name of them though.
I didn't even know there was Star Wars comics. Like it doesn't surprise me, but
there's a bunch of them that were out through like Dark Horse and a few other, I think IGN or not like game IGN, but there was a print house named that I think back in the 90s that had a bunch of them.
Oh, okay.
And, they went away for a while due to licensing issues, obviously. And then like now that Disney owns them again, they're starting to put out graphic novels and, they've been pretty good so far. I've only got a couple, like I said, but they're pretty good. The next one would probably be X-Men because it's the only one that I know. No real particular timeline. I guess the one that the 90s cartoon follows because that is what got me into X-Men.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the movies, obviously. but, like, I don't think anybody really is, so...
I don't know, dude. I saw Logan, and it was fucking sweet.
Logan was awesome. That was, I mean, there's only a couple of those movies that turned out really good. Everything else was kind of like, you know, it followed the story, but the execution was really poor. Or it followed what I know of the story. I'm not, like, an expert. And probably my favorite of all time, and this is going to be, like, an old one, but the original Eastman and Laird Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles graphic novels where they all had the red bandanas. I remember getting that when I was like 14. My grandmother found it at a yard sale or something. And I was like, why do they all have red bandanas? So, of course, I started looking things up, being that, you know, the internet was in its infancy. So I think it was Yahoo or something. And I found out like a whole bunch of shit about the Ninja Turtles like before they became like Saturday morning cartoons. So it was really cool. And it gave me a new appreciation for one of my favorite superhero like franchises of all time.
Are the Ninja Turtles superheroes?
Yeah. I guess technically
kind of they do kind of have like super strength ish
I've never thought about that.
The interesting thing about that is there's actually I wouldn't say a rape scene, but there's like it's hinted that like the reason that, because in the original graphic novels it's really dark. There's a bunch of really dark stuff they don't deal with in the cartoons, the movies. And one of the things, like in the cartoons, Splinter was a rat who turned into, because like he was spent his most time around humans, he mutated into like a anthropomorphic rat. But in the, if I remember the graphic novel correctly, and it's been years since I've read it, it's packed up in one of my book boxes. I think in the graphic novel, Splinter was actually Hamato Yoshi, and because he was with the pet rat, he like mutated to half human, half rat. So it was like the opposite. I forget which one it is, but it was like the opposite of whatever it was in the cartoon. And then the whole reason that like there was that rivalry between Splinter and Shredder was because Oroko Saki, who is Shredder, chased Hamato Yoshi from Japan to the United States when he emigrated, and Yoshi came home from work one day, and they kind of hinted at this in the movies and stuff, but it wasn't like explicit. In the book, it's really explicit that basically Saki raped and murdered Splinter's wife.
Holy and that, shit.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking crazy. And I mean, wow. You know, I didn't notice it at first, but like reading through it years later, I'm like, oh my God. Like, holy shit.
Right.
And there's like a bunch of storylines where like the turtles actually, like the foot soldiers in the comics aren't robots, they're people. And yeah. There's like silhouette scenes where like I think Leonardo puts his katana through the torso of a couple of them. And the way it's stylized is it's not obviously blood. It's like shadowed and there's like slashes and, you know, cuts and you can see like whatever. But like you can see the turtles have battle scars and you can see there's a bunch of like dead foot soldiers behind them. So it's really dark. And I thought that was really cool because like the movies were like one way and the Saturday morning cartoons were another, but like seeing that in the whole movie, I was like, holy shit, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I hate when like cartoons or stuff has like a sword in it, but like that person doesn't kill people. You're like, well then use a fucking stick like Donatello. What's the point?
Right.
If you're not going to kill him, at least be able to hit him.
So I've heard, and I've been wanting to read the newest run of Ninja Turtles, cause I heard it's like also very dark. And like pretty brutal.
Yeah, they got away from it for a while because obviously like the kid appeal from Saturday morning cartoons, and then it was tied up with like licensing rights and issues and stuff because I think Nickelodeon actually bought the turtles or the rights to them from I think it was Mirage Studios who had them before, but they're starting to get back to it. I know one of the original writers, I forget who, like basically one of the creators, one of them like sold his half out and cashed out. He's like, I'm done. And the other one, they offered him, they're like, do you want to write another, you know, Ninja Turtles story arc? And he said, yeah, absolutely. So he started writing again. And it's really funny because there was actually, I remember there was a game on PS2 that I played in college. I still have it somewhere. And it was like right in that mid to late 2000s era. And they had the Ninja Turtles on Fox and everybody like shat all over the cartoon. There was like a CGI movie that they're like, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but if you look at the story arc, it actually takes place with some of those graphic novels, not necessarily the ones from the 80s, but there was a progression after that. And then they stopped for a long time and it follows that progression. Like, cause there's one, like the animated movie, that came out in the late 2000s. Somebody got it for me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, a gag gift or whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this. And I was actually, you know, like some of the kiddie stuff aside, I was actually pretty impressed because it's basically deals with what happens to the four turtles after Splinter is like kidnapped by the Foot Clan. And it's implied that they basically like murdered him. So he's like MIA. And the turtles kind of fall apart. You know, Raphael goes off someplace and is like a vigilante who like rides this motorcycle and, you know.
He's like, Wolverine, basically, from the X-Men movies.
Kind of? Yeah, yeah, kind of. I mean, like, he goes off and, like, he goes Wolverine, I guess we'll say. He goes and, like, he's still a crime fighter, but he goes and, like, instead of, like, tying them up and leaving them for the police, he kills these people. So he like murders criminals and stuff and then like disappears. And then like Leonardo goes to it was either someplace in South America or someplace in Asia where he's like meditating in this forest and, you know, looking over these villages because they have these warlords that'll come in or, you know, like drug cartels or something. I forget the exact. They'll come in and they'll it's like racketeering. They're extorting protection money from these people. And so Leonardo sees this and he's like, that's enough. And he drops down and like kicks all their asses and is like, you know, send this message back to your boss. And he becomes like this tree, like, you know, the tree phantom, sort of like they think he's a protective spirit or something like that. So they're like following that storyline. Michelangelo, I think, is like one of the only ones who stays in the city. And I think Donatello becomes he starts teaching like courses on physics or engineering or something. I forget what it was, but he does it, if I remember right. And again, this is years ago, but I remember right. He's either taking courses or he's doing them, and he's doing it online. So he's going to get this degree, and but like nobody's ever seen him. So I think they put that into the storyline too. It's been a while. I need to go back and watch it now. But yeah, there's some really cool Ninja Turtle storylines that never made it to like the kids' Saturday morning cartoons, which, you know, I love those. They have their place, but there are some really cool like expanded. Well,
I'm talking about it's in the same. It's from the same publisher as Walking Dead, graphic novels or comic books. The newest Ninja Turtles. It only started up maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it's. I want to read it, and I know who it is, but I'm not going to say. But a major character dies, and like I'm not going to say.
I mean, it's obvious it's Splinter because you can't write a Ninja Turtles thing.
It's not.
Shit, it's one of the brothers.
Yeah,
it's a big. Turtle dies. He doesn't come back like in the other comics.
Oh,
like
my
He's been dead for like 2 years now or something like that. I think it happens somewhere in the teens, like between 10 and 20. So I definitely want to read that. Like, I know who it is, but I just can't say in case anyone wants to read it. But
I'm
hear
so sorry if we spoiled that for
really good. So,
I feel like such a dick. I forgot we shouldn't spoil stuff on the podcast, and I was just like, oh my god, it's a turtle. It's Leo, I know it. Mikey!
Like Scott knows who it is, too.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I remember hearing that. I'm like, what?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And I was like, he'll come back, and then he hasn't. And I was like, oh, man. Okay.
they serious about this.
Yeah. So it's like, this Ninja Turtles is like, damn, okay.
Well, guys, that was fun. Those are good recommendations. I'm definitely going to go check out old Ninja Turtles comics, because apparently that's brutal. That's so weird. Something you grew up with that's so innocent. You're like, oh no, like it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Every time I go back to it, man, it's like that. I'm like, wow, that escalated quickly.
I wanted to get all this non-Destiny 2 stuff out of the way because I know every podcast is pretty much going to tell you the same stuff all week. It's actually kind of a bummer for me during this next week of work because it's all the same stuff everywhere. So if you don't want to listen, I understand, because this is where we start repeating everything that everyone said. But we are hype as fuck on Destiny 2.
Hell yeah. I mean, lit 17.
We were hanging out in Munch's chat, and it was all like, shit, fuck. Like, all caps, people just being like, fuck.
How about that opening cinematic? Like, I gotta say.
Oh, my God.
God.
I'll drop a fist of havoc.
Red when Zavala went down the first time, I was like, oh, he's dead. And then the ghost revived him, and I was like, I'm so stupid.
Dude, I'm telling you, Zavala was one of those characters where, like, when I started playing Destiny, I'm like, man, why do we have this blue-headed guy? He's kind of grim and boring. I want to go talk to Shax. Shax is cool. He's got the horn. He, like, says funny things. He yells at you in the Crucible. I find that hilarious and awesome. And then we watched the Zavala, like, trailer with like, his origin. I'm like, that is fucking amazing.
Oh, man. And baby Amanda Holiday.
Yep.
Yes. That was so cool.
Somebody said that there was a shot of Shax with two horns.
There was a couple, yeah. When Zavala enters the village, after he gets revived and he makes his way to the, like the village, the tent city where like the speaker's wearing rags and then his mask, Shax is there with his full armor, orange and black and white, with both horns and the giant furry shoulder pads. And it's so funny because then, like, it flashes to we were talking about this, actually, in the DGS Discord because everybody's like, oh, shit, we just saw Zavala and Shax, and I assume the third Titan who was in the shadows there was Saladin because it looks like him and it has this very similar armor. You just didn't get, a face shot or whatever. They're like, is this Six Fronts? Is this Twilight Gap? What is this? And it looks like they were going for Six Fronts. But there's some stuff in the lore now and in the story that kind of doesn't add up to put that as Six Fronts, so it may not have been. But it was kind of one of those things where, like, it shows Zavala, and I believe it was Saladin, and then Shaxx. And Shaxx is standing there with both his horns. And actually, somebody, I think it was Dropslash, brought up the fact that, like, they both have auto rifles, and then Shaxx is just standing there with his fists. Like, yeah, he doesn't fuck around. He just beat every single Fallen to death.
So, yeah, we had that awesome opening cinematic, and then what, Luke Smith came out and started talking, made a couple of jokes. You know, I felt like he did a really good job. Like he was talking to me and not like doing a presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I got three.
I mean, I'm sorry. We have so much to cover. I'm just kind of trying to flow through it. Then we got that first mission gameplay.
Oh man.
Ooh, buddy.
Baby.
How about, you know, when they had that opening video for the gameplay where Cade walks in and he starts cracking jokes.
Oh yeah.
It was like, you see the Cabal ships come through the clouds, and then Zavala is just like, you can tell the look on his face, he's like, oh shit. Yeah. And everybody like piles into the Titan bubble and he saves everyone. And I was like picking my jaw up off my desk at that point, because I'm watching it on my lunch at work. I'm just like, and then when Cade pops that golden gun, I got goosebumps. I'm like, oh shit. Oh shit. We're going to see him do it. We're going to see him do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man.
It was so good. And I know, like, before this happened, I was like, I don't really want to see the beginning because I don't want to know what happens. But it's such a short part that, like, it's fine. And they kind of, like, explained
it. We already knew
what
happened.
Yeah.
You know?
So in case you guys didn't see it, pause this podcast and go watch it. But if you can't do that, basically, Cade walks in cracking jokes with Ikora and stuff. And then they're like, oh shit, the satellites are all gone. And then you see Cabal ships fly in, Zavala pops a defender bubble, the tower starts getting fucking destroyed. And then the mission, the general gist of it, is you fight around on the tower for a second. We'll get more into this in a sec, but you fight around
with
on
the Vanguard.
With the Vanguard.
So awesome.
We'll piece it together. But you fight, then you go behind that wall that Xur stands in, over by the speaker. You fight more. Amanda Holiday picks you up on a ship, drops you off on a Cabal ship, and then you meet Gaul, and that's where it ended. But
wait, there's a you get busted through Bannerfall at one point.
Do you?
Yeah, really? when you're going after Ikora and the speaker for that little bit, you get
that's not
like
Bannerfall.
A wall explodes. Yeah, there's a little section of Bannerfall.
No, it's just the tower.
I don't know. I think
it
was...
might be the same as Bannerfall.
I mean,
I think it might be, but
the same.
Yeah, because the tower.
Yeah, it's like a piece of the tower that you don't get to go to when you're at the tower, but it.
Oh yeah, that's what we're talking about. It's where the ramen shop apparently is.
Okay.
Bannerfall's a different tower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're on our tower the whole time, except for when we go on the ship. So, that was just a rundown of what happens in that mission, but. Oh my god, it starts off, Zavala pops another bubble, and apparently if you don't go in that bubble, you just get killed right there. But they did a really cool job of showing, because you're a warlock in the mission that they showed, so they did a really good job of showing the two new supers. You go in the bubble, you see the two new supers, which are Arcstrider, and what's the Captain America one for the Titans?
Sentinel.
Okay, so we'll get to Sentinel because I love that, and I have more to say than Arcstrider. But Arcstrider, what's your impression on the Arcstrider? Because it looks just like Nightstalker. Or not Nightstalker, Blade Dancer.
Yeah, it's like just a fine-tuned Blade Dancer, I think. They had to give everybody a new weapon, so.
Yeah, the way I described it is Arcstrider is basically Donatello from Ninja Turtles meets Gambit on speed. That's right from the notes that I posted. It's pretty cool looking. I described it to a few people who are Blade Dancer mains, and they're still kind of sad. I do know that it wasn't playable in the demo. We were asking a couple different people about that, and I know Dropslash confirmed it first, but then like Mesa Sean came out, and a couple other people said the only classes that were playable at the reveal were Gunslinger, the reworked Striker, and Dawnblade.
Yeah, which we'll get to those.
Right.
So I think that, the Arc Strider is just them fine-tuning Blade Dancer to get it a little better.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's got a, or they've got a staff now, kind of just makes you think that they're going to try and get the range a little farther out so it feels more like a super, because Blade Dancer is hard as shit to kill people with.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
I think I got to agree with you on that. I think they needed, like, they were having such a hard time balancing Blade Dancer. They're just like, all right, scrap it and completely redo it.
Yeah.
And the staff definitely extends the range that it's usable. You don't have to get up as close or be in a swarm of enemies like you do when you're playing Blade and just bounce off them.
Yeah, and it's so acrobatic that I feel like it's going to really help movement speed. Like, I'm sure that there's a little move where you stick the staff and use that to get leverage and push. So I think that it's gonna help, because of the little, like, whoosh, 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 left and right stabby thing. Sorry, audio listeners. That's, like, not an elegant solution to moving quickly with the Blade Dancer. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, and if you're not good with Blade, you get cut down pretty quick. So
yes.
I speak from experience, of course. Yeah.
So
it seems like they're making every super have like a little bit of extended range.
Yeah, they're definitely reworking subclasses to increase mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a little Arc Strider, and then they pan over, and what do we see but our glorious, glorious Titan. What's the class called?
Sentinel.
Sentinel. He's got a Captain America shield. Did I see that you could smash kind of with it? Or is it just a bash? Like,
it's basically the way that it looked to me, and I confirm this again, starting with Drop Slash. It's basically the same mechanics as the Aegis in Vault of Glass, but it's a void-powered shield, and the one difference with that is you can toss the shield, and it bounces off people. So if you've ever played Borderlands with Borderlands either Handsome Collection or pre-sequel, it's like Athena. She's got the Aspis with the shield that pops up and protects you, and then she throws it at the end and it bounces off. That's very similar to what Sentinel's super is. And I believe it can buff, because in the gameplay Bungie tweeted out, I watched it a little bit, and I believe it either creates a shield around or buffs the armor of your fire team, because there was a Sentinel who had his shield up and was like pushing forward, and there's a Hunter with an auto rifle behind him just plugging away.
Yeah, it looks like a partial bubble.
Yeah.
Like a movable cover.
Like a riot shield.
Yeah.
Sick ass.
Or like
riot
you gotta put it down and it's just there in front of you.
Oh, putting it down and it's there in front of you is not that class.
No, that's a different thing. We can talk about that after. Yeah, the three classes are gonna stuff.
I mean, it's a Striker thing, but we'll get to that. So this mission progresses, and I kind of noticed, I was like, what the fuck is happening with these guns? So, well, fuck. Let's talk about I don't want to get off supers yet. Talk about Dawnblade. You have here Warlock with a permanently built-in Raze Lighter. And it's like that if Raze Lighter had the Arc Bolt. Or what is it called?
Boltcaster.
Yeah. I mean, it still looks like an uppercut. Or like, no, you kind of like slam forward like you're casting spells with a big-ass wand. But you just shoot fire at people. And I thought, when I'm looking at it, it looks a lot like Sunbreaker.
Yeah. I think they said they borrowed the mechanics from Sunbreaker. A lot of people were referencing that. They're like, Warlock has a Sunbreaker now.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
And I think it's worth noting, this is going to replace Sunsinger, and Blade Dancer is getting replaced by Arc Strider, Defenders being replaced by Sentinel.
Yeah.
That's actually something else interesting, because there was rumors, like you guys, we were talking about that leak that came out before the reveal, like hours before the reveal, probably, where people are saying these classes are going away. But I asked around, and there was a couple people who said, like, basically, that's what everybody generally believes. So it's like a generally accepted thing, but there hasn't been any confirmation from Bungie yet, and there hasn't been, like, you can't play the other classes. The only ones that were available were those three. And on top of that, the skill trees in those classes, some of the things didn't have descriptions on them, from what I understand. So there may still be the ability to get some of the stuff from the old subclasses, like Sunsinger with self-res. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't been 100% revealed yet. So it's generally believed, but I feel like we should throw that disclaimer that, like, it hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah, I just thought about that. I was like, what if your subclasses, you can change your super now?
Yeah.
Oh, like, you have, like, completely different kinds of options.
Yeah, that shit would be sweet. I have the subclass page pulled up right now for Gunslinger and Striker and Dawnblade, but I mean, there's no descriptions on anything. It looks really different now. They're like, it's weird looking, honestly.
The UI of it is really cool, but I mean, just looking at it personally, I'm getting confused.
So what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the Gunslinger, and it looks like you have your super is a big giant diamond. Above it, you've got the three grenades to pick from. To the left of it is what appears to, it's maybe like a, I don't know, it looks like a hood. And there's two options there.
Probably Deadeye.
Yeah, it could be that.
And then Sheena Woe, I think. I saw those logos in there. I know those because those are the only two that I have unlocked for Gunslinger.
And then if you, below it is the jump options. So like they kind of took those, and instead of it being in like lines, they're just split off into little like little groups.
Yeah.
There's another one that has four things checked in. So this is weird to me. Like, it's four diamonds. There's four things checked. It looks like one of them might be a knife.
That's probably wrong.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's very strange. Here, can I pull this into our Discord real quick? Is it gonna let me? No, it won't. But regardless, these look very interesting now. Like the screens are definitely different. But I mean, back to Dawnblade. Dawnblade, you know, you got a
There it is.
Frickin' sword. That's pretty sweet. I mean, what else is there to say? You got a sword. You can throw stuff. You can fly. You can slam.
Yeah.
I heard that when you slam down, it can regen your health.
Oh.
I was playing with Anon today, and he went. So we were asking him some questions. But yeah. Whoa. Shiver me timbers. Yeah. So that's Dawnblade. So you get to see that in use a couple times. And as they're going through this mission, they run by the sweeper bot, and that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
I like how they did that little pan around there.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. You get to where the speaker is, and his whole area is just fucking gone. And it looks to me like this is where that bar scene kind of took place. I might be wrong. But it looks never mind. Thinking about it, it doesn't. But I noticed that the guns are weird. So I saw a primary Gatling gun at one point.
That is an exotic, and that caught my eye as well, because it is a Suros, it looks like, just from the like overall aesthetic of the weapon.
Yeah.
It is a Gatling gun, which I fucking love. It was a primary, so I was losing my shit over that. I'm like, primary Gatling gun, new favorite exotic. Fuck everybody up. But I actually asked about that. And the name of it is the Sweet Business, which is hilarious.
Sweet Business. Okay.
It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, they have some crazy exotics in this one. The weapons is actually, if we want to talk about weapons now.
Yeah, let's talk about the new way that the system works.
Yeah.
So what I found is it looks like they've reworked all the weapon systems entirely. Primaries include all current primaries plus submachine guns and sidearms. Mm-hmm. And then the second slot is basically like another weapon slot for elemental weapons.
Yeah, I think they're called energy weapons.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they're called energy weapons.
But they're all primaries also.
Yeah.
So you have your kinetic slot and your energy slot.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah, I know they kept talking about kinetic versus energy, and I'm like, I just see elementals and regulars. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, it's Destiny 2, so The heavy is what they really reworked the most. All heavy and special weapons are combined into what's called power weapons. Mm-hmm. They took machine guns out and replaced it with grenade launchers and Gatling guns. And the grenade launchers I've seen are all like the street sweeper style grenade launchers with the drum mag and, you know, the foregrip and stuff. It looks like the one that, I think Arnold used it in Predator. So I was like,
that's a call.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. I'm going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator with my Titan, just blowing shit up. It's going to be great.
Right.
And then the interesting part, and I guess this kind of goes half weapons, half classes and subclasses, is everybody, all three classes are each getting like an additional ability to go with their grenades and melees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Titans can drop a wall.
Yeah,
on so it's either that's across all Titans.
Oh, really?
All Titans.
Yeah, all Titans.
All
are gonna,
Hunters.
It's gonna be crazy.
Can shade step.
Yeah, all Hunters can shade step, and then Warlocks. I found the most information on this from that video that Mesa Sean posted. They can drop a Rift, and it either insta heals or adds damage. Like buff damage for your fire team.
So Warlocks got the Ward of Dawn powers, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
You can shoot through it, right?
Well, no, it's not a bubble at all. It just is the buff
like
associated
aura.
With Ward of Dawn.
Yeah, it's like a thing they drop. So I haven't seen any video footage of that, but the Titan one was pretty, like they use that in Crucible. And so, like you said, I saw it on Striker. Everybody saw it on Striker. That one wall, you can drop it and it's a full wall. You can use it to basically block. It's kind of like having a Ward of Dawn wall. They said they were using it to basically block off like doorways and stuff in the Crucible. It's crazy. And then there's another version of that. Like you change the node or whatever, kind of like Shoulder Charge and Jug Shield with Striker. If you change the node, it comes to like a half level shield. So you can squat down and reload behind it. And then you pop up. And you can shoot, so it's like
just cover.
Yeah, it's basically a cover reload shield. So that was pretty crazy.
So that seems really good in PvE. I feel like this worries me though. This like little half cover wall, because if Destiny 2 is going to be as mobile as Destiny 1, that shit ain't going to ever be used. You know what I mean?
I think the other interesting
thing for team shotting people.
Yeah, but like it's a very like I put this here. I'm going to stay here for a second. And it's like a very fuck. We're like you're on one side, I'm on the other. We're sitting here. We're at a little stalemate. That's very that situation. Which in Destiny, you sit there and kind of get in that engagement, and then I'm just gonna run up around the corner and shoot you.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because as much as they are reworking all the subclasses to be really mobile. Which gives me a lot of hope for the fact that every single raid now isn't just going to be, okay, Titans on Defender, Warlocks on Self-Res, Hunters on Tether.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting because everything I've heard from people say that like the gameplay, the actual mechanics and movement feels very good. It feels like Destiny, but they've changed it completely. Like there's no more Titan skating. There's no more Warlock surfing. I don't know if they said it's going to be slower moving or if the movement is just a little different, but
it just feels slower.
Yeah. That's the best description I think I've heard.
Slower and smoother.
Yeah, exactly. That's everybody I've read has said that. Dropslash said that. I think Mesa Sean said that. I was reading, maybe it was, Destiny Reset podcast, Cyborg and Arrow were talking about that, and they said it feels good but it's smooth but it's like slower, which is weird.
Yeah. So with these weapons though, having a basically double primary fixes a big issue that I've had, is I like to run fusion rifles and then I pretty much have to run like a scout or a pulse to keep like a good, like I can engage at different distances. So this fixes that. I can run a friggin' sidearm and a pulse or something. I don't know. You have two different ranges that you can pick from for your weapon style, and I really like that. I don't like the fact that my fusion's now a heavy weapon, because that's kind of my thing.
Right. Yeah.
Steve, what do you think about the way that weapons work now?
I'm I think it's going to make PvP a lot more balanced right off the bat. Because, yeah. Like, they probably, like, I get it from Bungie, you know, like, we're sick of hearing about snipers are too good, or shotguns are too good, or now trespassers too good, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's always been the special weapons. So now there just aren't special weapons. So,
yeah, but, like, that sucks. There's not special weapons now, and I don't like it.
No, but it gives you the, but I love the versatility in the primaries. I think that's a fantastic idea. And I'm going to be running hand cannons and either auto rifles and pulse rifles, like, all the time. So, I think it'll be great.
Let's just say I'm waiting for my exotic fusion primary.
That'll probably happen because, you know, like, it'll probably happen.
And I want it to be a monster because I'll use it for the week that it's awesome.
Or they nerf it into the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
So we already talked about the rest of how this mission goes down. I'm sorry. We got to move on.
There's a hint. Not well.
Yeah.
It doesn't end.
And it's a really kind of interesting thing because Domino's Gary, leader of the Cabal Red Legion, we find out that he's actually just trying to take the Traveler's Light because he thought that they should have got it instead of us. He was like, this puny fucking human robot awoken people. Why do they get the Traveler and I don't? Why do we get the shaft? We're better. So yeah. That's kind of like really interesting because it adds some depth to the Cabal story that it's just not like, hey, well, fuck you guys. We're mad that you killed us. We're just going to go kill you. There's like actually a good reason behind
it. Yeah, there's motive for the first time. Like there's motive for everybody else, yeah. But theirs is more like intrinsic. This is more.
Well, because the big reason I didn't want the Cabal to be the focus of Destiny 2 is because I was like, it's going to be so fucking boring and cliche. Like, oh, they're pissed, so they decided to come kill us. Like, the Hive and the Vex have such super interesting stories. They're like, this is really cool. And I'm really hoping that when we fight Domino's Gary, I really hope that he's kind of, like, got some Guardian powers. Like, wouldn't that be fucking sick?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty interesting because when they described him in the live stream, they described him from, Alan Rickman's character in Die Hard.
Yeah.
Like this, he's like a villain who's got his shit together. That like Oryx or Crota or the other, you know, D1 people didn't, but he's like a different kind of villain, which I thought was really interesting. There's a big talk, like a lot of discussion right now in the different lore communities saying like, how does this work? Because the Cabal didn't know the Traveler existed before like 2 years ago. And this guy was supposedly raised from birth to think that the Traveler was his birthright. You know, what's his story? And so I was talking
only
to
2 years old.
We don't know Cabal lifespans, honestly. So it's crazy. There could be a bunch of stuff. And I'm interested to see how they're going to explain it. I'm not the only one. My own personal theory and my feeling based on what we've received and the way they kind of speak about him is this Gaul is not the Cabal Empire, you know, like everybody's like, oh, it's going to be the Cabal Empire. They're pissed off. We killed all their command in our system. Yeah. They're going to come get us. I don't think I think he might be rogue. Yeah. And I think he might be like, and again, this is total spin foil. This is speculation. It's my own opinion. I've talked to a couple other people and they've said, you know, they kind of agree. They're like, it sounds like he's rogue, but we don't know what extent of rogue that is. I think that's the storyline that they may take is like, you know, he basically like has this, the Red Legion is like his following or his personal army. He's like a warlord. Mm-hmm. They recycled the word warlord like 6 times talking about him. So he basically shows up with like his personal army and is like, hey guys, fuck you. I'm taking your shit.
Right.
So I think that might be the story route they're going to go. But again, we don't know. And I'm super interested to find out.
So, I think it seems like he's got his own army. Like he's a general. So he's got like a X amount of the Cabal army, like the actual Cabal. And that was the Red Legion. And he has someone to report to kind of, but it's still like whatever he wants to do, he can do. All it is like go conquer, you know, they don't have a retreat, just go conquer. So he's in charge of going to conquer whatever he wants. And
right.
So why not get more power to go be able to go conquer and take over more?
Yeah. So there's
That was the first mission. I think after that, they told us a little bit about the planets that we're going to be going to. It's Io, Titan, Nessus, and Earth. I think Titan's a moon of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Io's a moon of Saturn. Earth is the European dead zone, and I don't know what Nessus is.
So, it's supposed to be like a planetoid that with a 122-year orbit or something is what they specified later on.
Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting. Our Vanguard are kind of split between these planets, so that'll be kind of interesting to deal with. And I'm trying to remember what happened after that. Then they started talking about, was that when they went into guided games after this?
Yes. Okay. I believe so.
So they're going to do a new system. It's called guided games. And it's basically, it's LFG. But what you're going to do.
Well, it's a good
LFG.
Yeah.
The way they described it is it seems a little more like Sherpa mode. Yeah. I was asking about it a little bit. And it basically says, it allows clans to opt into a list, like a waiting list or a matchmaking system, where solo players can flip through the clans, read about what it is, and then they can basically say, yes, I want to join this clan. And it's going to have like postings for like, hey, this clan is doing a raid. We're looking for two. Sign up. You can get it. And then they'll pull you in from the wait list.
Well, it's not really joining the clan. It's more like playing with a clan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
playing with a clan.
I meant joining a group, like a fire team, not like joining.
Yeah. If you have fun, you can join the clan.
Exactly.
Which is a good time to bring up. When Destiny 2 launches, what are we going to do, Steve?
We are going to start the Bad Clan.
Yep.
Barely Destiny Clan. I don't know if that's what it's going to be called, but
probably
something like that.
Barely Bad Destiny Clan.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys hit us up if you want to join that when that comes out. But we aren't going to
bring your friends
until
with
then.
You. Yeah.
So, yeah, guided games. It kind of didn't go well at first, them talking about it, but I feel like it is a good system. Like once it was explained a little better, I feel like people are pretty hype on that.
I think it's a good alternative to matchmaking because, you know, it's a new record. Not 24 hours after Destiny 2 premieres, people are already bitching and complaining about things that it doesn't have, which preemptive eat a dick to those people. you know,
right?
So it's one of those things. People are like, I want matchmaking, and you know, I kind of went off on this
raid matchmaking.
I mean, it's a terrible idea. I went off on this.
That had it, still have it. So
yeah,
it's.
I think it's a better alternative than matchmaking. Because think about like, this is the one thing that I've said to everybody who's like, oh, well, raid matchmaking. I'm like, hold on. So you want to take think of the worst LFG group you've ever had.
Put them all into a pool because they're the only ones matchmaking. Everyone else has six.
Exactly. Yep. Now, take one step back. The people who are too lazy or dumb or just can't be bothered to do matchmaking or to post on an LFG and put the effort in, those are the people you're going to get. So now you're going to have people who are, it's like 3:00 in the morning wherever they are. They're half in the bag. They're blasting music in their mic. They match into your raid group and they're like, yo, what's up? And they're just fucking things up. Or you get the guy who's like, I'm going to troll these people. And they take the Aegis in Vault, for example, and they just run around and keep getting killed. And you're trying to, it's like, it's a formula for you know, disaster. Yeah. So I think this is a great alternative.
Mm-hmm. So we had guided games. They also told us a little bit about Crucible. It's going to be 4v4, apparently everything.
Yep,
There's a new game mode called Countdown, and that's, you know, plant the bomb, other team tries to defuse the bomb, you can win by the bomb blowing up or killing everybody on the opposing team. It's like elimination style, like revives and stuff.
Oh, that sounds good.
There will be no private matches. So my idea of having a day one, or there's no private matches at launch.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did specify they're working on that. So
my idea for a day one tournament is not going to happen now.
It's all right, we got plenty of time.
I wanted to do that. I wanted to be the first group to hold a tournament. I wanted to be like, it's coming out. As soon as you pick it up, join.
Stock everything.
We did skip over something. PvE, patrols.
Oh,
way different.
It's going to be crazy.
You have a map now, which is fucking awesome, because it's so hard. Like, I used to go and pull up a map on the computer and try and figure it out. It's stupid. Doesn't make any sense. There's going to be
let's see, Lost Sectors, which are similar to Patrol, but on heroic difficulty.
I actually, that part, I had a revisit and I watched the video again. The Lost Sectors are going to be like mysterious sectors that you go and like have to discover. The ones that are basically like Patrol mode heroic difficulty, I think they're actually calling them dungeons. It was the logo in the map that had like the red with the white sword on it.
Yeah.
Those are the dungeon ones. And then the other one with like the little arc and the circle in the middle was Lost Sectors. So like the dungeon ones, that's the one that's on heroic mode.
But yeah.
It should be a lot of fun.
So it's basically like it's more similar to an open world game map. Like
an open world
RPG? Your Assassin's Creed's, your Far Cry's, like when you open up the map, that's more what it's going to look like. You're going to see where you're at. You're going to see like objectives that you can go to and go do that shit. And you don't have to go to orbit anymore. I could go straight from Io to Earth or something like that. And that's just really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, your mic cut out, Ben.
Hey, what's this shared loot thing that you have written down here?
Okay, so basically what that is, it fits in with clans being a big thing in Destiny 2. I was asking about this with a couple people, and the way they described it in the stream is basically there's going to be a bunch of clan rewards. It's the opportunity to make your own custom banner, description, all that good stuff. And the more your clan plays, the more loot you're going to get for your clan. So it doesn't necessarily mean guns and armor and things like that, but you're going to get trophies. You're going to get emblems. You're going to get other stuff. It may mean armor and guns. That, I don't know. Again, has not been confirmed. But they said you're going to get specific rewards for the clans. So basically, the more active your clan is, the more like rewards you're going to get, which is great if your clan is super active with raids and strikes or crucible trials, things like that. You're going to get cool stuff, and it's basically going to show like, hey, you're a super active clan, because they're trying to encourage not just clans to Sherpa people through endgame activities and like bring people in so they have a better game experience. They're trying to keep them active, because how many clans do you guys know started out strong year one in Destiny and are still going strong by year three? Yeah, there's a lot that just dropped off.
I have two people from my clan that still play.
You can guarantee that barely a Destiny clan will be very active, because you know me and Ben will be playing like every day.
Yeah, pretty much. My wife's gonna still be my fiance. That sucks. gosh, I got to get married like a month after this game comes out. That's going to be the hardest week of my life on that honeymoon.
No, but okay. So one thing about clans that I think is going to be fantastic is it seems like they're going to make clans very accessible. And being more included in the game, people can join, I would hope, through the game, without having to go to the Bungie site.
Yeah,
they show that in the UI, I think, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, like join clan kind of thing. You probably like click join and then the clan approves, you're in, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can play with people before you let them in if you want.
So all this wrapped up with, what is his name, Eric Hirschberg?
The Activision guy?
Yes. Came out...
You look like a sketchy Coke dealer. Sorry. I had to throw that out there. There's a couple people we were watching the reveal, and they're like, I don't like this guy. Who is he? He gives me a bad feeling. I'm like, he looks like a sketchy Coke dealer or the manager of a strip club. I was like, this guy's got to be from Activision.
And it's weird. I actually did get that same vibe. I mean, he's probably a nice guy.
Yeah.
I feel like our community is like, you're not a Destiny guy. What's going on here? Who's this? Yeah, who's this? What was that, an Activision guy? You're the devil. Activision's the devil when it comes to Destiny.
I see it on you. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen this show, but he reminds me of like the villain in iZombie.
Oh.
He's like the CEO of an energy drink company.
Yes. That's exactly what he looks like. That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, I never made that connection. That's great.
But he came out, he told us that the PC version of Destiny is going to be on Battle.net and not Steam or anywhere else. So I don't know what that really means. Like, I know Blizzard and shit, but who gives a fuck?
I think it's good for PC. Yeah. Honestly. No cheating. It's a good way to prevent cheating.
Good on you. Have fun with that when you play on PC. I'm not going to.
No.
Even though PC has an uncapped frame rate and we're still stuck at 30. But, oh well, we'll deal with it. Oh. I've been dealing with it forever and it doesn't feel weird to me. The only reason I wanted 60 was less trades. But yeah, that's going to be happening. And then he was like, and you guys are going to get to play the game right now. And then I was like, woo! And then he goes, and all you at home thinking, well, I don't get to play it right now. And he's like, there's going to be a beta. And I was like, holy shit, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The beta's going to be soon. And he's like, sometime this summer. And I was like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. You got me so hyped that they were going to announce, like, beta's up now, baby. Let's all go.
Yeah, I almost left work. I was getting ready. I'm just like, I got typed up like, hey, I'm done with my shit. Can I go home or, you know, something like that? And then he's like,
this summer. And you're like, fuck.
This summer, like, yeah, okay, delete. Forget about it.
That pissed me off. What a cock tease. What a croc tease. Shout out to the croc pot.
Right.
It's a little inside joke. Go watch XanaFan's stream from Friday night. It was fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
But I think that about wraps up the stuff for Destiny 2. We can get way more into this in the following weeks. We probably will. Like, I still have to go and watch all the gameplay footage from the strike and watch some PvP and the story mode stuff again. I really, like, we're going to be diving more into it. This is the first week it's been out. We've got so many weeks before the beta, so we're just going to be picking apart all this Destiny 2 news as the weeks go on. I figure we'll probably just tackle some topics every week.
Right. Well, there'll probably be some more information at E3 too.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated as you're hopefully not number one source for Destiny news.
Right.
I feel like we should be number five.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely listen to our show though every week.
Yeah.
Get those downloads. We broke 100 downloads.
Yes.
This last week. That might be, yes. I have to say, we did have a non-pigs episode, like, mysteriously got deleted. So I re-uploaded it last week, and I'm hoping that 100 isn't hugely people that have subscribed to us and have auto downloads. Like, that might be it. And I mean, so let's not celebrate the 100. We'll see how we do this week.
So it might have been just a 50 people double download.
But at the same time, that was the RNG cast episode, and that episode was so much fun.
It was.
So, whatever. I'm going to take it as a victory. I'm putting it down.
Yeah.
100 downloads in the book, even though we double uploaded. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Stuff like this happens. But, big thank you to anyone who is listening to us. We've gotten a couple of people contact us and let us know that they have been listening. We really appreciate it here at Red Hat Podcast. again, you guys or girls, I need to be more specific, or whatever you are, I don't care. you can send us questions at BarelyADS on Twitter or send us an email. BarelyADestinyShow@gmail.com. Please go to your preferred podcast listening application program thing and leave us a review. It really does. It does help. I went to go get a new phone this last week and I searched Barely A in the podcast because I'm a dick and I go to all the phones and I follow my own podcast on there. I searched Barely A and we did show up. So the reviews are helping. Yeah, that used to not happen. And we only have two reviews. So I think it's helping. I hope it is. You know, leave us a review. Tell us on a review that I talk too much and kind of just ramble while I read stuff on my screen. we got emails. We're about to play some music by Monswoon. And also, you guys can check them out at monswoon.bandcamp.com. Kind of, to me, sounds like Minus the Bear, but more rock, less tap. And yeah. I don't know. It's really sweet. I like it. Again, go to destinycontentcreators.com, please, and suggest us for that. We'd really like to make it on there. And suggest this podcast to a friend if you think that they would like it, you know.
Yeah, that's the best way, honestly. Tell your friends.
Yeah, we don't post a lot around anywhere. Most of our growth has been word of mouth. I don't like the idea of pushing the podcast on people who don't give a fuck about us. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's always been my belief that your fan base should be organic, you know. We did our initial Twitter spam right when we made the thing just so somebody would listen to us. But yeah. We really do appreciate the people that are listening. And it feels good knowing that, you know, I feel like we did earn those people. We've gotten a lot of shout-outs from other podcasts, and that's been really fucking awesome. I don't know why I'm having a feels moment right now, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You guys got any last things before we drop our tags and get out of here?
I just really want a Destiny 2 PS4 Pro bundle. That's what I'm waiting for to pre-order. So I'm hoping they announce it at E3, and then I'm going to try and get that.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Nice. I was thinking the beta is probably going to come. I was talking to one of my friends. I think it was Kendra. She said that Destiny 1 beta was like after E3 in June, maybe.
Okay.
If it's being dropped in September, so maybe they're going to do the same thing. Timeline matches up, so we'll see. Yeah.
I've got my money on July 16th.
Yeah, we have actual days guessed through DTR right now.
No shit.
Yeah. So mine's 7/11, my birthday.
So make sure send a bunch of happy birthday wishes when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be on the show for the next 2 weeks, guys. Damn, I'm going on vacation, and I even tried to be like, hey, when we're on vacation, is it cool if I like still do the podcast from vacation? And the missus was like, nope.
that won't fly.
I was like, okay, man. Fine.
Can confirm. Reason experience.
We're going to have our buddy Scary Internet Guy. He's going to be coming on the show. Good friend of ours.
Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You guys will be talking Destiny 2 with him and talking about poop and stuff, and I'll be listening and I'll be in the chat.
Oh, said he's out if poop talk comes up. Like it's on that stream from Friday. He's like, if poop comes up, like, I'm just gonna immediately move to the next subject. Be like, nope,
no.
It's like, I'll mute you guys. He said.
what we need to do now is just ambush him with the. We found the poop personality test.
Yes.
So we just got to ambush him with it. Part of the initiation of being on the show.
Yeah. I'm looking for a more in-depth version of the personality test, but I did find at least the basic personality test. So I know there's more to it. I just got to dig through the poop to find it.
All right, guys, you want to drop your tags real quick? Where people can find you?
Good work, Steve.
I'm Xanifan711, Xanifan711, Twitch and Twitter. I'll be streaming quite a bit. Stop by, say hi, leave me a follow if you want.
His stream on Friday was really funny. Like, I was sitting there cracking up. That's why we're talking about Crockpot.
Oh, and if you want to play, just hit me up. Seriously, I'm Xanapan711 on PS4 also. Like, be on my stream. It's more fun with more people.
Yeah, it is fun. So, Scott, I know you've been streaming. Where can people find you?
Slapshot Scott, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, the O's or Zeros. One of these days, I'll get around to uploading all of my videos that I've done. I have a bunch of like good gameplay videos from Crucible, Double Kills, and you know, just basically when I didn't play as a potato in Crucible. I'll get those up on my YouTube eventually. And I've been streaming on my Warlock a lot, so if you stop by and you see me playing on a Warlock, I'm not a Warlock main. I'm not a great player, but I'm not that bad.
Give him all the hate.
Yeah.
Treat him like he's been playing at day one. Cathedral.
Right.
Sorry, I'm looking some stuff up. Cathedral of Dusk. I'm going to be uploading a video of that later this week. I went fucking bananas on it.
I'm finally going through my old footage.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
But it was fucking awesome. And Xanathan's in it, so you can hear us talk over the whole fucking game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We played together, and it was the one that I got, like, 15 kill streak on and just went absolutely bananas with every weapon. Oh, yeah. Nice, so good. fucking great at Destiny. To be fair, like, the following games, every time I do this, I go, like, 0.5 or 0.2. Yeah.
It's about right. I do the same thing.
You kill it, 3-0, and you suck.
Yeah, 3-0 KD and Mayhem. The next game, I'm like 0.2. Like, man, I got fucking worked.
I think my recent best is a triple down with a sniper.
Ooh, that is good.
Yeah, they were all coming through a doorway.
Oh, shit, guys, I played Trials on Friday.
What?
Really?
You did?
Yeah, and we got to 5 wins without losing, and then we lost the entire
3
time.
3 in a row?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I got my first drop of armor that like I earned from getting to 5 wins. Normally it's just a random thing that happens. I was super fucking pumped. Shit, I got the arms. So now I have arms and a chest piece.
Nice.
That I don't think are from the same like era of Trials. So
one's a beetle, one's something else.
Yeah.
The bird or the bull or whatever,
So I still haven't gotten to 7 wins to get a weapon. If you want to carry me, please do. You can find me on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, on PSN, Det Ben Malone, DetBenMalone. You can find this show on twitch.tv/DetBenMalone. We do it Sundays at 2 p.m. unless we have a guest. Then we do it randomly at some other time. I did talk to some people. We might have some guests be coming on soon. I know we haven't had one in a little while since.
Right.
Do we have one after Anon?
No. Oh. It's been 3 episodes.
So I've been getting back to the grind, trying to find some guests. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave you by playing some Monsoon. And hope you guys come back next week, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Until next week, be the light that you want to see in others. Yeah, I like that. Yep. All right, guys, we're going to play some Monsoon. Y'all have an absolutely wonderful day. Steve, hit me up. I think I'm going to go play disc golf.
Oh, okay.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Uh-huh.